Okay, as I said before, this is a sermon I had done before, and then I couldn't find it. And I've had that happen more than once, but it's something that's very important to me, the principle and so on. And one of the things that I do when I come here is I always try to keep my sermons as short as I can, but still pack in as much as I can. Well, this sermon I actually gave at Olympic Baptist Church at one point. And at that point, we had an old guy named Dr. William Vandermeer. Now, he's dead now. He's off in heaven preaching. He was a professor of preaching at Fuller Seminary in Seattle. And what I did was I started the sermon with the chapter before the one we're going to look at here, read that, then began the sermon and read this one. And so he came to me afterwards and he said, "Young man, do you realize that the first thing I tell every one of my classes is that you never, ever start with a scripture and then preach from a different scripture?" And you have just proven that that principle does not hold. You'll see why in a minute, but it'll require you to go back into the 6th chapter of 2 Chronicles to see what I'm talking about. Now we're looking at 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 11 to 16. And of course, 14 is a very famous verse, and it's one that I love, but you'll see that as we go by. So Solomon finished the Lord's temple and the royal palace, everything that had entered Solomon's heart to do for the Lord's temple and for all his own palace succeeded. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon at night and said to him, "I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple of sacrifice." That's what you need to read in chapter 6, is that prayer that God's telling Solomon about. And then, see, I get completely lost. "If I close the sky so there is no rain, or if I command the grasshopper to consume the land, or if I send pestilence on my people, and my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves, pray, and seek my face, and turn from their evil ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. My eyes will now be open, and my ears attentive to prayer from this place. And I have now chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will be there at all times." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the word that you give to us and the history of Israel that you teach us from. Help us to learn how to worship you and how to be your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, really quickly, in chapter 6, Solomon is dedicating the temple. He has this long prayer that takes most of the 6th chapter. And most of the things that God says, "If this happens, this is what I will do," were in that prayer. Because Solomon said, "We may fall away, but if we do and we come back, please be waiting for us when we get there." And God says, "I'm going to do it." Now, the background is very simple. Many people think the greatest king ever in Israel was David. That was the father of Solomon. But the greatest king in terms of power and size of kingdom and money and all that stuff, the greatest would be Solomon. He was the pinnacle of Israel's kingdom. David was the one who came in when people on all sides were going to try to wipe out Israel, and David brought peace. But God said, you're a man of war. You had to be. It's not your fault. Let your son build my temple. And so that's what Solomon did. Solomon prayed at the dedication of the temple, all these things, and God answered him in the night. And the answer matches the prayer. He says he'll choose this place. This is his temple. This is where he's going to be. He says he will respond if you return to me, even if you walk away. I know you're going to stray. You've been doing this since Egypt. But if you come back with all your heart, I'll be there for you. And he says he'll watch over them. Now, one of the most important parts about this is that he is not talking to people who are not his people. He says, if my people, who are called by my name, will come, then he will listen to them. He does not expect non-believers to respond. Today, if we want our country to get its stuff together, God is not saying that he wants to hear from the Democrats. No, from the people out there who are doing the evil stuff. He's saying, I want my people, the people who believe in me, the people who are my people, I want them to come to me, and I want them to pray. He doesn't expect non-believers to respond, but he wants us to do the right thing. So what does he want from us? First of all, we need to humble ourselves. We don't like it. We don't like humble. It shows inferiority. No, it shows that we are inferior to God. It does not show that we are inferior to other people. He says we need to pray, which is nothing but talking to God. Paul says, pray without ceasing. And as you go down the street, you can be sitting there. I'm going down the street having a conversation with God. And people look at me like, oh yeah, I always knew that boy was crazy. We tell him we know where we have gone wrong. This is the thing that is sometimes hard for us, but it's the best thing we can do. When we mess up, we need to go straight to God and say, God, I messed up. I'm sorry. I need you to forgive me. I need you to fix this. We need to seek his face. Boy, that is sometimes a hard thing to do. But he says, if we look for him, we will find him. He's there to be found. Just go looking. We need to look for what his will is, because we don't know it most of the time. Sometimes we need to say, God, I'm about to do this. Is this what you want? And if you do that, he'll stop you if it's not. Now, we sometimes go, I don't care, I'm going to do it anyway. But we need to look for his will and follow his will. And we need to turn from our wicked ways. We don't want to admit that we have wicked ways. What we do. Not just wicked people. And you know who the people I'm thinking about that are wicked is people who are out there playing games to try to rip people off, to try to steal your money, try to hurt you. We need to admit that we also have wicked ways. They may not be as wicked as the blatant criminals are, But we have wicked ways too. And we need to say, Lord, purify me and make me better and help me not to have wicked ways any more than I can help. And tell him we don't want to do our will anymore. We want to do his will. Find out what it is and then go do it. So what happens then? Well, he says if you do that, that he will hear from heaven. It opens your communication. Oh Lord, I am praying. I'm turning from my wicked ways. I'm seeking you. And he goes, here I am, let's talk. He wants to talk to us. He wants to help us. And he says, I'll forgive you. I know you're going to mess up. Of course you are. Mm-hmm. Bible says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And when they get themselves all cleaned up, first thing they do is go out and screw up again somehow. Mm-hmm. That's the way humans are. Mm-hmm. The whole Old Testament is full of messing up and getting forgiven by God. He wants to reconcile with us. And he says, I'll heal your land. That's the part that we so much overlook. We look out and we say, this is so screwed up like a soup sandwich. And as Pat will always say, there's nothing we can do about it because, you know. Well, in fact, that's correct. There's not much we can do about it. But God can fix it. You look back in the Old Testament, and when the people as a unit turned to God, God started striking people down. Now, there are people that I will tell you I personally believe should be taken out and shot for treason and various other things. But if I pray for my country to be straightened around, I would not be surprised to see God taking target practice with lightning bolts on these guys. He will square things away if we just let him. The land is suffering because of our disobedience. And I'm talking our. Remember what he said? If my people who are called by my name, we're called Christians, we're called by the name of Christ. Our land needs to be healed. And we need a lot of Chinese people to be run off because we need our land back. But that's a whole secondary idea here. But at any rate, our country needs to get back on the right track and doing what it should be doing. There are things that we are arguing about that are clearly not God's will. I will tell you right now, and people say, oh, you shouldn't say this, you shouldn't take a stand. Abortion is evil. Now, if the mother's about to die, it becomes self-defense. So when the doctor aborts a baby because the mother's going to die if you leave it there, like my sister-in-law had an ectopic pregnancy. That means it was in the tube, not in the uterus. They had to take that baby out because it was going to kill her. Mm-hmm. That's self-defense. That's covered way back in the Old Testament. You've got a right to self-defense. But to just say, oh, it's inconvenient, let's get it out of here. No, that's evil. And we need to have it stopped. This transgender crap. You're telling me God's too stupid to make a kid in the right? I'm not buying it. That's the whole point.
He made you how you are for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Our country needs to get itself back on the right track.
The scripture tells us that he knew us when we were in the womb.
That's right. We need to get our country back on the right track, and the only way we're going to do that is if we can get the vast majority of the people who call themselves by God's name to turn back and pray that God will fix it. So what does this mean to us? Well, number one, we need to seek the Lord's face. And I have had somebody say to me, do you mean to tell me that I just go out and just go, Lord, where are you? Yep. If you go out and say, Lord, I want, if you're serious and you go out and say, I want to find you, he'll go, here I am. What's up, guys? We need to get ourselves right with God. That's sometimes why we can't find him. Because we want to go find him and get answers when we don't want to straighten ourselves out. When we're not ready to listen to the answers he's going to give us. We need to hold our government accountable.
Absolutely.
Now, nowadays that's hard. Thomas Jefferson said, if you can't change your government at the ballot box, violence becomes your only option. That is not a threat. That is a prophecy. That is actually saying, if you have such screwed up elections that the wrong people are always elected because the right people are being cheated, or even if the people think the right people are being cheated, you're going to cause people to become violent. And they need to get this crap stopped so that we have honest elections and we elect the people that the people want. And if they elect these evil people, well then, they got what they voted for. But if they vote for good people and the bad people cheat their way in, we need to stop them. Simple as that. We need to be in constant prayer for our country because our country is in trouble. No doubt about it. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we've been here tonight. We just ask you to bless us and go with us in all we do. Help us to be good servants. Help us to seek you at all times. When we have a problem, help us to go to you with the problem. And Lord, please heal our land. We, your people, are asking for this. And we're trying to get more people that are your people to ask for this. But the only way this country is ever going to be saved is if you do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being here, guys.